Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. And what follows? Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. A portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Peter 1. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, as searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you was holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised them up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in thy mercy that once more on this Lord's Day that the doors of thy house may be opened and the possibility that we may enter those doors and place ourselves under thy word and testimony. It is called a house of prayer. Lord, grant thy spirit to that end. Grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. May we be given to feel all our needs aright, and faith to believe that thou art exceeding abundantly able to do even more than we ask or think. May it also be a house of thanksgiving. 'Tis not to be found in the natural heart. 'Tis a gift from above. May we become small, a low place at thy footstool, that thou may receive thy rightful place, high, majestic and lifted up, our Lord. May it in this evening be a house of conversions, that sinners, by the work of thy Spirit, by the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, that they may be born again to become living members of that living church with that living King. To that end, may it be a house of uncovering, but may it also be a house of instruction. Oh, to be granted that blessing, as a Mary of old, to sit at thy feet, hungry and thirsty for the things of the Lord, for thy righteousness. May it be a house of encouragement for the discouraged. Thou knowest how many discouragements there can be. May it be a house of comfort for the comfortless. May it be a house of finding for those true seekers. Ah, thou hast promised that they shall become finders. Wilt thou remember the smoke and flaxes blow by the wind of thy Spirit? Remember the broken reeds given to look inside. The circumstances can be so impossible, but may they be given to look unto thee, where it shall be heard in this evening hour that Joseph is alive and that he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Grant a prayer for one another. Lord, do bless thy word. Thou hast promised it. Bless it in a richer measure. This springtime in the realm of nature, grant a special springtime in thy church. The psalmist of old has declared, thou sendest forth thy Spirit, thou renewest the face of the earth. Bless thy word in the church. Bless thy word in the family circles. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Grant traveling mercies. Remember, help, and bless all those that may labor therein. Then by renewal in this day, then we commend unto thee the confession of faith class. They have made a solemn oath. May they be given to be active with that oath, many times on their knees. Oh, the concern to become a living member by thy free and sovereign grace, that thy kingdom may come, and then thy name shall be glorified. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. For most of the world, then the Sabbath day already is past. The persecuted church, thou knowest how they have gathered all those in prison. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou encourage faith to look unto the King who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth, and with the petition thy will be done. Take the veil off the Jewish people. Remember all mission work, our mission field, thy servants, the team, the family, that hopes to be sent out. Be mindful of the established churches. Remember the student. May it please thee to grant new students and also teachers for our Christian schools. We commend unto thee, father and mother, who hope to commemorate in this week that thou hast kept them for 45 years in the bond of holy matrimony, with all their blessings, with all the trials. Grant a good day, grant broken and humble hearts. Another husband and wife hope to commemorate 56 years. Then also on that day, their thoughts shall multiply. They know what it is to bring a dear daughter to the grave. Well, thou uphold and remember them in the climbing of their years. Remember the family circle. Well, thou remember all the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. When it is not so, grant repentance, a turning, a bowing, a searching of thy word. While it can yet, and while it may yet, we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought dear ones to the grave, where those places they remain so empty, felt and experienced, do continue to uphold. May the callings be sanctified. Remember the elderly ones in the care home, those that may lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out above all things. When the infirmity shall only increase, do save their never-dying souls. Remember all the sick and afflicted, all those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Remember all the sick relatives. Do remember the handicapped ones. Lord, do remember our nation, federally, the Prime Minister. Well, thou yet open his eyes, that he may be given to see. Remember also our province, where in the near future elections are planned. May it be a matter of prayer, that thou may yet show mercy. Give us not completely over. Grant a turning unto thy word, unto thy institutions. Then there would be hope and expectation, where it is written in thy holy word. When a nation, when a people, when a church may turn from evil ways, given to repent, be humbled, a bowing, a crying, and a praying, that there is mercy with thee. May we be given to see the solemnity of the time, and that we and our children, by thy grace, that there may be a hastening to find a shelter place under the wings of Emmanuel. Lord, we humbly ask thee by renewal for some words to speak. Open thy word. May thy word go forth with power divine. Go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. take away everything that could be a hindrance, a wealth of grand errands and hers, a wealth of grand empty vessels. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our transgressions. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 427, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. And what follows? Psalter 427, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 17, the question and answer 45. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? Answer first, by his resurrection he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he had purchased for us by his death. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Lord's Day 17 speaks of the prophet of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, with four thoughts. First, death conquered. Secondly, a righteousness applied. Thirdly, a new life. And fourth, a pledged blessed resurrection. The prophet of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death conquered, righteousness applied, a new life, and a pledged blessed resurrection. Thus first, death conquered. Beloved congregation, in the past Lord's days, we were given to consider the names, the natures, the offices of Christ, and also the state of his humiliation. When we speak of the states of the mediator, then it speaks of the relationship that Christ stood judicially before his Father. And the state of his humiliation on account of all the sins of all his church that have been imputed, placed upon Jesus. To that end, he stood very guilty before his Father. And therefore, we have heard that he has suffered, that he has died, that he has satisfied and paid the debt for his child. And Lord's Day number 17, then it speaks of the first step of the exaltation of Christ. Because in the state of his exaltation, then Christ was acquitted, and in him his whole church. Because I read in Romans 4 verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In the Old Testament, in Malachi 4 verse 2, there it is promised, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. and that has taken place with the birth of the Son of God. But then the sun has set red, stained red with blood. On the cross of Calvary, he has died. But then on the morning of the resurrection, then he was risen as that Son of Righteousness with great glory and majesty to never go down. And that all for the welfare of his church. Concerning the resurrection, a promise in Psalm 16, verse 10, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Typified by Isaac 3 days, as it were, that Isaac was dead. But on the third day, he may come down from the mount. Typified in Joseph, humbled in prison, but he has come out and received new garments. Typified in the budding rod of Aaron, where we read of that rod that it bore almonds. We read of a Samson, that he has taken the gates of Gaza and placed them on a hill between Hebron and Gaza, that many may behold those gates. Concerning the resurrection of Christ, then it was a reuniting, because the two natures, the human nature and the divine nature, that union was never dissolved. And to that end, the Son of God could not see corruption in the grave. But at his death, then it was the separation of body and soul. And on the morning of the resurrection, then the body and soul were reunited. Concerning the truth of the resurrection, it is true, already in the days of Christ, there were the Sadducees that have denied the same, and the leaders of the people, they have tried to their utmost to hide the truth. But in the time of the Reformation, then generally, of course, the heathens have not the word of God. But then in the church, in the Roman Catholic Church, then that resurrection was not denied, but it was believed. And to that end, the instructors of our catechism, because Lord's Day number 17, that is much shorter than Lord's Day number 16, but concerning the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was believed among the masses. And to that end, our instructors have not given a broad explanation of the same, that he was risen with a glorified body. And it is clear from the scriptures that resurrection, that it was a work of a triune God. It was a work of the Father. It was the work of the Son. Because Christ has declared in John 10 verse 18, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. Also declared that he was raised by the Spirit of God. And to that end, one question, but a very important question. What doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? Let us first ask one another congregation, does it make a difference in our life that Christ is resurrected from the dead and that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we believe it? Oh, historically, we can believe it with our mind, but with such a cold heart, still a blessing when there may be moments that we may have impressions of divine realities. The temporal believer can believe it with much emotion, but may we be given to ask ourselves, does it now make a difference in our life that Christ is risen from the dead and that he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, from whence he gathereth, defendeth, and preserveth his church? Of course, as a consequence thereof, must also always be worded correctly, because Christ has only merited those spiritual benefits for his chosen church, which he receiveth as a reward upon his finished meritorial work in the state of his humiliation, and that he gathers that church by word and spirit in the state of his exaltation. And nevertheless, as a consequence thereof, then we and our children, we may have many temporal blessings. It is the reason why this world still stands, because there is still a church to be gathered. And should the prayers not be multiplied, that word may be blessed, applied by the work of the Holy Spirit. In this morning hour, then we have spoken of different members. Have you spoken of those matters, family circles, husbands and wives? Have you asked each other, how is it now with that membership? We have mentioned many different words, but now the most important, that we need by the free and sovereign grace of God, by the applying work of the Holy Spirit, we need to become living members and brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And nevertheless, as a consequence, when we think of the children of Israel under the external administration of the covenant, then what a blessed, a privileged people they were. Balaam has exclaimed in Numbers 24, verse 5, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. They were under the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, manna of water out of the rock. But it is written in the word of God that with many of them the Lord was not pleased. And thus when we read in this question, what doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? Then the question is, who does that us now refer to? And we have stated, minimize it never, to be under that external administration. And there the Lord has promised to remember and to work. But that word us, and that refers to the true child of God that have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And now the instructor is given to answer first by his resurrection. He has overcome death. Through our deep fallen Adam, because they read in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in Genesis 3, verse 19, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And in Romans 6, verse 23, and that the wages of sin is death. May I ask you in this evening hour, have we become exercised with death? Have we become exercised with our sin, with our guilt, with our punishment? Have we learned to mourn because of our sin? Has it become true for us? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment and death, and that is to appear before the Lord and to give an account of everything which we have done and which we have not done. And when the Lord works by His Spirit, He sheds that love abroad in the heart, and then we become a missing, and then we become a seeking people, because that separation, and then when we die without a surety, and without a Savior, and without a passport, and then it shall be that eternal separation, and then we shall be sent to hell. But now we have heard that in the state of humiliation, that Christ, that He has went into death, and to that end, by His resurrection, He has overcome death. And as the risen Christ, and then He has appeared unto His church as that greater Joseph, as that risen Christ. Oh, then He has appeared unto Mary Magdalene, unto the women, unto Simon Peter, who has ruined everything, to the two travelers to Emmaus, and to the disciples to the church that was gathered in that room. And then He was given to declare as that victorious King, oh, that He was the Alpha and the Omega. And as they read in Revelations 1 verse 18, that He was dead, but He was alive and He liveth forevermore. And then He has appeared unto His church. Then He has manifest His power, His truth, His faithfulness, His mercy, His love, and His compassion. And then He was given to instruct that church, that He was that risen Christ. But then for the disciples, they needed to be instructed further. And to that end, He has showed them those pierced hands and that pierced side, out of which came blood and water. And to that end, the second point, righteousness applied, that He might make us partakers of that righteousness which he had purchased for us by his death. A big separation. There are still many in our day that speak of the purchase of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to be saved. But how now to receive that righteousness? That is the crucial point. And then the instructors, they make it very clear that it is also the work of Christ to apply that salvation. It's true. The command in the scriptures, Mark 1 verse 15, to repent and believe. But the Lord has a people that need to know what it is to believe and how they may believe and what that consists in. And the Lord has a people, without me ye can do nothing, but they can do all things by Christ Jesus. And therefore the instructors, they do not speak of Christ that has purchased salvation, and then they leave it up to dead men to believe in that purchased salvation and to apply it to themselves. But then the instructors, they so clearly stress that faith is a gift of God, which Christ has merited for his child as a hand, and to that end, that they may receive that merited salvation. Oh, then the church learns more and more of him, through him, and to him be all things. The church is given to learn more and more. If they had to add anything to their salvation, then they learn that the application is also the work of a triune God. It is true. The Lord has given those appointed means. He has given his precious word. We are called to search that word. We are called to beg and to pray that he might make us partakers of the possibility of that righteousness. We read many times of righteousness in the Bible. Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Have you become such a one, congregation? You know what it is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is a people that have learned that they have not a righteousness of their own that can satisfy justice. Oh, it can be in the beginning they have a hope they may please the Lord. But Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. And yet, cannot miss the Lord. Those are those true seekers. Oh, it is true. Can be those times that those seekers can be afraid that they shall not become finders, but it can, it shall never be. Not to rest in that seeking. The way leads further. Need to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God, and to that end, Christ has also stated in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 verse 20, accept your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. ye can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven, because it needs to be a perfect righteousness. And of that righteousness, the prophet Jeremiah has testified in Jeremiah 23 verse 6, where Christ is called the Lord, our righteousness. And in Psalm 71 verse 16, oh, there it was the vehement desire of the psalmist to speak of the Lord's righteousness and of his only to make us partakers of that righteousness which he has purchased for us by his death. Thus the necessity, Paul has even written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Thus the resurrection of Christ, risen to apply that righteousness which he has merited for his people, that they may be set free, and that they may be given to proclaim his glorious praises, a new life. Let us first sing. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou, the King, in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of a suppliant voice. And what follows, Psalter 45, 1, 2, and 3. the prophet of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A death conquered, a righteousness applied, and now thirdly, a new life. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. Christ has declared in John 14 verse 18, because I live, ye shall live also. Then we read in our answer, a new life. Does not say an other life. It is true, it is an other life. But the instructors speak of a new life. When the Lord works by his Spirit, then there can be so many questions and so many riddles. And then it can be the question for those souls, is it now an other life, a change, forsaken the world, a church has a greater place, I live not so easy, but is it now only an other life? Those souls, they can have much trouble with Saul. Because of Saul, I read in 1 Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. We read there of in 1 Samuel 10. Then Saul has experienced wonderful things. Then undoubtedly there were people, to say it in our language, that Saul shall become a minister. And what wonderful things he has experienced. After Samuel has anointed him with the horn of oil, then Samuel has stated that three matters would take place when he departed. First, by Rachel's sepulcher, he would meet two men that would tell Saul that his father's asses were found and that his father was concerned about him. Then secondly, by Tabor, that he would meet three men. The first, carrying three kids. And then her boys and girls can understand they were not carrying babies or boys and girls, because kids are baby goats. And also three loaves of bread and a bottle of wine. And then Samuel has stated that they would give unto Saul two loaves. And thirdly, that he would meet a company of prophets who were prophesying, and that Saul would also begin to prophesy. And then we read that the Lord would be with him. And yet, it is clear from the scriptures, an other heart, but not a new heart. When the Lord works, how there can be souls that are given to beg? They are given to examine themselves oftentimes according to the word of God. Many times those souls, they are like a Rebecca of old, when she was bearing twins, and those twins, they strove with one another in her womb. And then she went to inquire of the Lord, why am I thus? And then what a privilege and what a blessing when such souls may receive instruction out of the Word of God, and that the Lord may apply His Word, and that they may be shown the marks of the true work of the Lord, and yet not to rest in those marks, because with those marks we still have a debt, and that debt needs to be forgiven and blotted out in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, there I read, a new heart will I also give you. And how does that take place? That takes place by word and by spirit. And I read in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus when we read in this answer of a new life, then we speak, although it especially refers to the second, but can never be separated. That speaks of two benefits which Christ has merited for his people and which are given by the work of the Holy Spirit. And those two benefits are regeneration and sanctification. And now when we speak of a new life, who is now given that new life? Those are fallen sons and daughters of Adam, enemies of God, enemies of His Son, and enemies of free and sovereign grace. The one child of God learns it deeper than another. And who is that new life now given to? That is to dead sinners. Then we can use the example, boys and girls. Maybe some children have never seen a dead person, but some of you have. Maybe your grandfather, grandmother, brother and sister. And then if you feel such a dead person cold, you can speak to him, will not twitch. A dead person in a coffin does not hear. A dead person is not thirsty, not hungry. A dead person does not feel pain. In Ezekiel 37, then the prophet was given to see a large valley with many dead bones, which were very dry. What a picture of mankind lost. It is true. When you have a person in a coffin and the Lord sends an earthquake, then that person will shake after tremors, will still tremble. The Apostle James has written to the church in James 2 verse 19, thou believest that there is a God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. Maybe there are those that are given to think, what a dead and a cold sinner I am, because I do not tremble at God's word. Heaven does not seem to draw, and hell does not scare. His goodness His word, special callings. They do not give me to tremble. And when there is a little trembling, it is so short. But now the wonder congregation. Oh, the prophet in Ezekiel 34:37. The Lord is asking, prophet, can these bones live? Dead sinners sitting on the bench in church have heard the word so often already, Lord, can they now live? Lord, thou knowest. And then he was given commandment to prophesy, to preach to those dead bones. And they began to tremble. And they were clothed, Dutch young and old. That is now the hope for us and our children. Almighty, free and sovereign grace, that by the almighty power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he speaks through his word and the King applies the same, then dead sinners, they are awakened, they are quickened, and they receive a new life. They become thirsty and hungry. They are given to long after the living God. They are given to see what they are. They are given to see what they need. Free and sovereign grace. That is the only hope for us and our dear children and therefore congregation. Oh, place yourself always under the word of God and bow your knees even with your tongue and say, Lord, may it now be the time that I may belong to that people, that I may be quickened. We read in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. And then we become a living member. Then we become a seeking member. Then we believe we have a soul. We believe that we are traveling to a never-ending eternity. We are given to believe in a God, in his glorious attributes. And then we are given to bow. Oh, when we think, when a dead is raised, think of Lazarus, and then Christ with a loud voice, then he has said, Lazarus, come out, and then he has come out of the grave, and then he began to breathe, he began to walk, and so the church is given to walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, then they got to be unloosed of those grave clothes. What a work that the Lord has, that the King of Kings with his church. Oh, he is the Alpha and the Omega. And I read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 that they become new creatures, not other creatures, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, it is true. They have many riddles and many questions, and they need to be instructed for those new creatures. Then how necessary Christ becomes in his threefold office as prophet to instruct. They choose him as king, and they need him as priest. They become living members. Is that not taking place, congregation? Was our last point in this morning. Have you thought about it? Either dead, still of a rational mind, of course, must use the means, but we need to be a living member of the living church of the living King. Thus regeneration and sanctification, it means to be holy. It's a benefit that Christ has merited for his church. It's a benefit that is given in the moment of regeneration. Then our old fathers have spoken of passive sanctification, but by the Spirit they have also spoken of active sanctification. We have heard of the exhortation from Peter for the church to be holy. Then they also become reflective members. Romans 8 verse 29. They become conformable to the image of Christ. In Romans 6 verse 5 we read, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Our last thought, a pledged, blessed resurrection. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. What is a pledge? An assurance, guarantee, a promise. And now it does not say the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our resurrection, that it does not say. In the great day of judgment, then all people that have died, they shall be resurrected. What a day that shall be. Cannot fathom it. Cannot understand it. We must believe it. We must become exercised with it. And for the wicked, shall not be a blessed resurrection. Should be a terrible day. Because then their body and soul shall be reunited and then sent to the bottomless pit, weeping and gnashing of teeth, to curse, to mock, and that forever and ever. Do you believe it, congregation? And those that shall still be living, they shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and we shall appear before the judge, shall be separated. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, faithfully use the means, forsake the world, repent, cry for mercy, ask that you may be washed in the precious blood of his dear Son. Ask for true saving faith, that you may be given to believe what is written in the inspired word of God. But now for the church, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Christ is risen, firstborn from the dead. God's people shall follow and then be taken into glory. And then with body and soul, oh, to be delivered from this body of death, from the devil, from the world, and then to be given the presence of a triune God, and then forever to sing the glorious praises of the Lord. And what shall that praise consist of? Shall there then be anything to boast of? No, not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name be all the honor given through him alone, because of thy sovereign good pleasure. May the prayers be multiplied, that the Lord may work abundantly, richly, that we and our children may become partaker of that blessing. And for the church, then I read in Philippians 3 verse 10, that I might know him, let there be no resting outside of a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou hast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day and some words to speak. By renewal we commend the confession of faith class unto thee. May they not be finished with their oath, but exercise therewith, oftentimes on their knees. We all need to become living members, Lord. Be then the after preacher. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou remember and keep us in this week? Remember the mothers at home with the children, all at work, at school, on the way. May we be given to feel more our dependency. Help the farmers on the field, keep from harm and danger. Give impression that we cannot make one seed grow. Wilt thou prosper the work of our hands. Keep us from danger and from harm. Keep us from sin and temptation. Bring us together for a weekday service, also to thy house, where a young couple hope to be united in holy matrimony. Lord, help with the preparations. May they be given to beg of thee that on their special day, thy special presence, thy special favor may be experienced, that thy word may be blessed, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Welcome now graciously bring us to our homes. Watch over us in the night watches. Remember those that are called to work in the night watches, taking care of the elderly and of the sick, and those that work in the emergency department. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1 and 3. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows, Psalter 200, the stanzas 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.